Welcome to the team. Okay, we'll move on to item G6, request to the council to approve 7 additional sets of ballistic protective equipment from unrestricted contingency. Is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. This is a very valuable program that you just supported. I've supported this for years, and now we finally are moving forward. This, for the public, this will allow... Do you want to do the volume phone show?
I can explain briefly. We've all seen the news. We see what happens seemingly on a daily basis as far as some type of active shooter event of one size or another. Obviously, the big ones get bigger attention. I'd like to think that this type of thing doesn't happen here and we don't have to worry about it, but the reality is I've already been to one of them, and demographically, this is exactly the type of place it does happen. We've started outfitting our paramedic crews with ballistic protection, consisting of helmets, vests, such as police and SWAT teams wear. Our personnel are not armed. They go in under escort with police officers. The concept is, this all changed after Columbine. Prior to that, that type of event was just a police incident. Fire units and EMS staged back well away from the incident and waited for the police to search and clear every room and every nook and cranny of the facility. Problem with that was a lot of the people died of savable injuries because no one was there to help them in a timely manner. What we do now is we enter under police protection as soon as we don't hear shots being fired anymore. That doesn't mean the scene is completely safe, that there could be other surprises, secondary devices, other shooters in an attempt to ambush. So we will go into that, we call it a warm environment. It's not hot because there's not actively bullets flying, but we know it's not fully clear and safe. This equipment on all of our frontline units will let our personnel address that issue with whatever else is going on that day. We know our call volume is increasing every year, and at any given time, 2, 3, even 4 of our frontline ambulances could be committed to other events. So this will make sure that every frontline, every personnel working on duty will have a set of equipment and be able to participate in this type of event.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Chief, how many communities in the area have that capability?
Well, the hope was that this regional grant, and I explained it in the council action sheet, would have funded pretty much equipment for everyone. Right now, I would say the majority within the county have at least some of it, maybe not enough. Like, we will have to protect all of our frontline people. But the entire county is operating in a similar operating guideline. We all know we would be called to a major event. We all know we have to be at least somewhat on the same page. Everybody's doing this at this time. Within the next probably a couple years, I would hope that everybody has enough equipment for all their people. But everybody within the county is moving forward at one pace or another, I guess is the best answer.
So when we come and do the fire thing, do we get to?
If you want to.
Thank you.
That offers me an opportunity. For the common council members, our police and fire department offer the opportunity for each of you, except for you, Dan, to ride along. Spend several hours with the fire department, spend a shift with the police department. I encourage each of you to do that. It's a valuable experience. You'll learn a lot of things about how they do their job. So when it comes budget time, you have a clearer understanding of what the needs are and how they handle it. Now, I'm going to go back to my commercial. Supported this program on top of the paramedic program. This gives us a unique ability in the area for us to help protect our citizens should the unlikely happen. No, should the unwanted happen. And this is a political statement, but it's also the way I've behaved since 1998. Our fire department and our police department should be the best equipped, best trained in the area, if not in the state. And thanks to you, we continue to do these things that puts us at the forefront of the services. We're proud now to have 3 paramedics, ambulances on duty, at any given time, generally, which is pretty unique. And it comes at some expense, but it's something that you folks believe in, as do I. And it's better for our constituents. It provides them better health and safety. So thank you, Chief.
Not only that, but almost all of our personnel are trained at the paramedic level, which means...
You're down to four, right?
We're down to three or four. Yeah. Which means they can treat at that higher level of care, provide better assessment, better patient care, even though that they're not assigned to a transporting paramedic ambulance. All of our frontline ambulances have at least one paramedic 99% of the time. So,
and that's something you all need to be proud of, because it's because of your decisions that that's happened. And take credit for it. It's a great thing. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Madam Clerk.
Not that the clerk's office is in the same field as the police and fire, but I would welcome.
But you deal with aldermen.
I would welcome any alderman in it. I would also include Alderman Mayor to sit in our office and see what goes on in the clerk's office, as I'm sure any of the other department heads would.
All right, you open the door, Sandy. Here it comes. They're a fun-loving group. We previewed the Shelley's video in my office, and we got a rockin' clerk's office. So take your imagination wherever you want with that one. Let's move on and get some business done. Item G7, a resolution authorizing certain officials to execute an agreement to continue professional environmental engineering services for the landfills, JSA Civil and Environmental Engineers, Alderman Mayor. Alderman Mayor.
Move to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Alderman Mayor, you have that look about you.
I do, but I'm going to go to a meeting. I know that these guys have been doing this for a long time, so I'm okay.
All those
right along with us, too.
Sweet. I'm there.
Okay, you got one alderman committed. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G8.
Mayor.
Yes, Alderman.
I'd like to request a motion to table this item until the discussions under item 12.
No, you don't want to table it. You want to move.
I want to just delay it.
Item G9. We'll move. We'll come back to G8.
Okay, thank you.
Item G9, status of parks, playgrounds, land for athletic fields, impact fees. This is a long story. This is a report on impact fees. Mr. Roberto.
In your packet is a memo that updates the status of the impact fees, commonly referred to as parks impact fees, which are parks, playgrounds, and lands for athletic field by statutory definition. The table on page 189 of your packet shows that we have through November of this year, closing November expenditures, we have spent impact fees collected through part of the year of January of 2006. We have effectively a 120-month time frame to expend them. So if by January 1st, 2016, anything remaining in the impact fees unspent column for January 2006 would be returned with interest to the current property owner from where they were collected. That would occur as well for February and March, and for fees collected the first 10 days of April. Beginning April 11th, if between now and then the Common Council adopts a resolution that I'll be preparing that states the special circumstances that have occurred that prohibited it from occurring within 10 years, beginning April 11th, we can have an additional three-year extension. In the meantime, we are up against deadlines for those portions, and one of the items on your agenda, if accomplished in the time frame by whatever period it's accomplished, can help satisfy those impact fees unspent and resolve them before they need to be refunded.
The full amount.
Pardon?
The full amount.
I believe so, yes. I haven't looked at that specific number, but it was well over that full amount last time I looked at it. So I believe all the same properties are included.
Alderman Whitlow.
So am I looking at this right, that in June you have 102,000 and in July you have 111,000 deals in impact fees?
June of which year? There are two Junes listed there.
Well, it doesn't have a date next to it, so my chart just says June.
Oh, that meant there were actual expenditures applied against this of 102,000 in June. It was applied to the June of 2005, July of 2005, finished that up, and then it started expending the August.
Okay, so I'm looking at this wrong. I need to be looking at the June going across, where it would be 63,897 that would unspent, that would need to be spent in June, going down the page.
Yes.
January 6th.
Yes, but as I noted, if a resolution is passed prior to then, that June date can be pushed back 3 years. So all of the funds in the impact fees unspent column beginning April 11th of the 06 that you see there, all of that can be pushed back, provided for another 3 year extension.
So can you sum this up from now until the end of the year, from now until January, and now until June?
Really, your only immediate deadline is what you see in the impact fees unspent January, February, March, and then part of the April money, approximately a third. Those amounts, which are just about $200,000, are the only ones at risk. Because everything after that can be pushed back.
$200,000 in impact fees, or you can push it back. Or if we have a project, we don't have to pass a resolution that says we have to push it back.
True, but I believe then by the end of the year, you would have, end of next year, you would have had 607,000 in impact fees that you need to spend. So I believe you will be still need the resolution, no matter what, because I doubt you will have necessarily 607,000.
Sounds like we have a lot of impact fees to deal.
It drops off significantly after that. As you know, it was through 07, there were still some collections. Development with the economy stopped dramatically beginning in 08. For a number of years, there was small collections. So the kind of numbers you see on this page do not carry forward into the year between 2008 and now.
Alderman Willem. Mayor, sorry.
Paul, I'm just curious, just for my information, can you send me this only further out to like 2009 or 10?
I can send you a report that says the monthly collections further out.
Yes. Sure, thank you.
It might be appropriate now to remind everybody what impact fees are and aren't. Impact fees are not a piggy bank. Impact fees were collected by statute to, by ordinance, statute, whatever, to offset the potential impact of any particular development that comes into the city on those specified groups of projects. Parks, library, police and fire, there was one for Drexel Avenue. What am I missing?
Library.
For the last 10 years, had lots of elected officials make lots of promises about spending impact fees to lots of different people and groups. These impact fees are paid for by people who bring new development to the city. It's never intended to provide stuff, whatever that is, to existing neighborhoods that aren't necessarily part of a new development. So let's be careful. Let's remember where the money came from and what it's supposed to be used for. Alderman Willow.
Actually, the city attorney has his hand, and then I would like to have the floor back.
Well, I gave you the floor, so please proceed.
Okay. I was yielding the floor to the city attorney because I thought maybe he had something relevant, so, and it might be in addition to my comment, so.
I think he was going to allow me to answer, and that is, although there are people who correlate the collection of impact fees to the portion of the city with with where they're collected. Statutorily, there isn't that relationship. So they may be generated by development in one location, but the statutes recognize that they can be applied within the full boundaries. You can create special impact fees for limited geographic boundaries, but ours are all citywide ones, and the money can be used within the city, no matter specifically where they're collected. That's why we go through the process of the needs assessment study that indicates the citywide needs, and they can be used for any aspect incorporated within that study.
Thank you. My question was regarding the note on the land transfer that for the MSD lands that's on this action sheet on the back of page 188. It says, land transfer and related expenditures would have to be completed in December of 2015. And I know that's on the agenda, but are the actual transfers going to make that deadline? Or how does that relate to this wording in this item?
Well, it relates to G10 and we're on G9.
Well, I realize that, but there's a sentence in this one in particular that says, and I'm reading right off of the council action sheet for this item, the land transfer related expenditures would have to be completed in December of 2015. I'm wondering if that will happen and how that impacts fees if it does not.
Okay, let's do this again. We're on G9. It's a report. Is there a motion to...
Within G9, if G10 doesn't happen, and I believe the city attorneys put it in here with the expectation that he can accomplish it, provided all the dominoes fall in the right order. But if it does happen, what that sentence says is that you will avert all of those. If it doesn't, it tells you that the portion not collected in January, as of January 6th, that number 60,000, although we will have some December expenditures which are limited, and we've identified some other older expenditures that we could apply, you would probably have about $50,000 in funds that are refunded with interest. If then what's in G10 occurs in January, you would then avoid the February, March, and April rebates, but you might lose the January portion. But you can discuss the likelihood of what will happen when you get it.
So this might affect the possibility between projects and accepting this land about that resolution and how much would have to be delayed by that 3-year period. Depending on what happens with the land and depending on what projects are used to spend impact fees would have an impact on not so much needing to do the resolution but the amount.
Yeah, the resolution as I envision the structure based upon my reading of the statute is we won't actually stipulate a value. We will just stipulate a time frame.
Okay.
That everything is pushed back. So there won't be a number referenced in the resolution.
Okay. Thank you. So there's no action being requested on this? Or you just want to...
No, it was just provided for information.
Okay.
Alderman Mayor.
The dollar figures listed on here, you said something about with interest. Does this include the interest?
No, this is the amount collected. So you don't have to have the interest spent, but if you don't spend the principal collected, then you refund it, rebate it with interest, according to the statute.
And what's the interest on it?
I haven't forced Paul to do that math yet.
We don't
imagine
want to do that.
It's going to take some work.
Okay, thank you. I won't force them.
And just to pile on, so we get to, let's say we have to refund. First you get the calculation for interest. Then the assessor's office has got to go back and look for each property that had a building permit pulled, something like that.
Building inspection.
Building inspection, who, by the way, right now is just now up to staff, but not fully efficient. They got to figure out the appropriate addresses. Then assessors got to go through and find appropriate owners. Then we got to figure out the dollar amounts. Guys, this ain't pretty. Let's quit fooling around with this. Let's do it the way the staff wants us to do it. Let's move on. Alderman Mayor.
Have any funds been returned at all?
No.
Alderman Dandrea.
I did see Paul's hand up. Did you want to correct anything that was stated, Paul?
There was a comment about what fees we have and whether they're citywide or not. The Common Council adopted a resolution, say, in the summer of 2013 that established the Southwest Sewer District, which is less than all of the city. And in that district, there is an impact fee, but only for properties, new development in that district, as opposed to all the other fees cover the entire city.
Okay, thank you.
So, I'm sorry, just for clarification, so those funds would only be used in the Southwest portion being developed?
I'm not clear on that point, so I'm not prepared to respond to that. But
okay.
The intention of creating the district was that the infrastructure requirements for new development were in that district. But whether or not the collected fees could be spent outside the district or not, I would need to do some further research on.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. City Attorney.
This is simply recollection, and that's some number of years ago. The city did not propose impact fees by ordinance for sanitary sewer extensions because prior to the Southwest Sanitary Sewer Service Area, the city was essentially 97-98% sewer. With the addition of, there were still driven by new development areas outside of that area, which might require public sewer, but the reason for the adoption of that ordinance naming that area is because now it's a new area and the cost to operate, manage, et cetera, as well as extend sewer service, it might be citywide. So it's that area plus the 2 or 3% might have been involved. So I don't know that it's necessarily limited to that area.
Is there a motion to place report on file?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? I hope not. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We're going to move to G. Since we're doing this, if you don't, you guys don't mind, let's move to G10 for a moment. Conveyance of various lands from MMSD through MALC, the Conservancy, and the city, Mr. City.
Well, I think there's a couple of council members that might have something to place on the record here this evening. In any event, the short version of the transaction set forth in the action sheet, copies of which, as well as plans for as soon as possible accomplishment of the transactions, were sent to representatives of the Department of Natural Resources and Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District on Saturday. I had a telephone discussion with the council for MMSD yesterday. Had counsel with the representative who also works at MMSD but is conservation fund in-house, if you will. Also received correspondence sent yesterday and received correspondence from MMSD and DNR this afternoon, during which I was preparing the resolution. The resolution for the Common Council this evening is consistent with everything on the action sheet. The matter is a work in progress. Had a discussion with the president of Milwaukee Area Land Conservancy later this afternoon. Up until about this afternoon, I was hearing positive comments timing-wise for get it accomplished in the month of December. Had also offered at least one property transaction, MMSD, approved. approved 5 transfers back, or the city government council approved 5 transfers to the city back in July, on July 7th, MMSD thereafter, I believe on the 21st, from recollection of July, authorized conveyance of 3 of those. There were still 2 outstanding, but those were 4 conveyances to the city. One is the St. Nicola property. That particular property has been placed on the procedural path, dating back 2 months, I dare say, by the Department of Natural Resources for permission to be obtained from the DNR board to exempt that particular property from the outdoor activities regulations, namely from the concerns of the city, shotgun hunting and trapping. With regard to the other property that was for conveyance to the city, I set forth in the action sheet had discussions and research with regard to the issue of the process for exemptions. And the bottom line ultimately was that the hunting regulations statewide did not apply to transfers of green seams property from MMSD to a not-for-profit land conservancy organizations. And at the same time, the immediate thereafter transaction could involve a long-term lease to the city, which in effect would treat the property as public property and allow for impact fee expenditure thereon. I still haven't gotten a final word because I repeated some questions on some emails this afternoon. One was from MMSD. The 3 folks, as I understand it, or 4 that were working on this, based on a phone call this morning and follow-up to yesterday's, because I had not heard back, they were going to get together on it. And the email expressed the thought that it was not doable by the end of this month, forwarded that to the city administrator. And then I responded, well, what about at least one property, namely the one that was previously approved by the Common Council, the Rudisovich property in Alderman Dandrea's district, and I haven't heard back on that one. And I also had an understanding based on discussions probably a couple of months ago with the chief officer of the stewardship fund program at the DNR that the particular method of transfer, which would involve MMSD to the Mohawk Area Land Conservancy, and when I mentioned MALC, she did have positive statements with regard to MALC and its efforts in the area. And my recollection is, and it's probably in my notes, which I didn't have time to look up, was that yes, it could be done by the end of the month. This afternoon, I received correspondence from her stating that there is a review process involved, et cetera, and that I should be in contact with the Green Seams program facilitator at MMSD, which I was already. And I emailed all of them and said, I refreshed memory with what I just told the Common Council and said, well, we're in that same relative position after I had heard that there was more time for impact fees. And frankly, I thought what I heard was that it was January as opposed to December, and it wouldn't have mattered with other deadline matters occurring since then. But I haven't heard back on that one either. So keeping fingers crossed that it can get done, and if it takes this office 24 hours a day to do it, that will occur. With regard to the terms and details, that's all covered essentially in the discussion in the action sheet as well as the draft resolution, none of which based upon were other than to be based upon all of the documents which were exchanged and used for the transactions which closed in July between MMSD and the city. Questions with regard to maintenance, my thought was, be addressed, property maintenance, if any, be addressed by way of an agreement that the parties involved each have to come to an agreement with regard to what that may or may not be in the future, with no specific commitments at this time. Late this afternoon, had a discussion, got an email from the president of Mauk Area Land Conservancy, and requested a call right before I left for the Board of Water Commissioners meeting. We had a brief discussion on that. He's ready to work around the clock also, but there may be a land maintenance issue because of mission statement and method of operation by Mauk Area Land Conservancy. So all that being said, I'm here for any questions. And I also have a question for common council members, and that would be, just in case it doesn't go according to plan but still can be timely done, even for at least one of the properties, are the common council members available for a special meeting, say the 29th of December, 2 weeks from today? Staff would proceed accordingly and distribute information as it became available, and that would basically go to, are there going to be any required by way of process or for any other reason potential expenditure that would have to be agreed to?
Speaking of me?
Yes.
Relative to maintenance, that's a future budget issue, in my view, that we all recognize, I think. Chris and I are getting nods of the heads. That would have been there whether we took the land directly or cycled through MELC, which is appropriate too. I don't see it as an issue. If we don't need to do that, all we need to do is approve the ordinance. Am I correct? That'll give us the authority to get going.
Based on the late this afternoon telephone discussion, there may be some baseline number, if you will. And I don't know that as yet in terms of what would go into a lease between, for the purpose of maintenance, into a lease between MELC and the city.
I apologize to those in the audience. These conversations are usually held via phone. My suggestion is that MELC is not responsible for maintenance. The city, if we enter into the lease.
That's my point.
Yeah.
But MELC would want that in writing. And there may be a baseline number involved.
Well,
that's what I heard today.
Why would there be a number involved? If we're responsible, we're responsible. Alderman Wilhelm, then Alderman Mayor.
I did talk to the city attorney. I need to disclose that I was one of the initial co-founders of the Mauk Area Land Conservancy, along with my late friend Richard Barloga. Approximately 6 years ago, I was acted as the executive director for the organization. I am currently not a member of the organization. They don't have any members, or a voting officer or any type of officer, and neither are any of my relatives. I received no money. I told the city attorney as well as the president of the organization and others that I will not be advising them on this issue. In the past few years, I have served as an advisor, as well as a slew of other well-qualified advisors and local city attorneys, or local attorneys. And the organization's main goal is to get land and make it available to the public. So even the members of the organization don't have a financial benefit that are the officers. Their goal is, as they do now, they hold two parcels that are open to the public and are considered part of the city's park lands in the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan and the Master Plan. So the only difference is they are responsible for the maintenance of that land and the insurance on that land, whereas if it was city park land, the park land state law has exemptions for park land, so there's no cost in that sense, and it would also be covered under whatever city policy that they would have. The organization does have to pay, I don't know, maybe it's $10 per acre for every piece of land they hold. And don't quote me on that. It's been a while. I don't know what the cost has gone up over the years because their land holdings have gone up. So maybe there is some part about that. But my main reason for telling you this is I bring quite a bit of knowledge to the table. I didn't want it to be seen as a conflict of interest, so I'd ask the city attorney for his opinion. And with the knowledge that I've given, I'd like the city attorney to give his review on if he feels that I have a conflict or not.
Mr. City Attorney.
Reviewed it and answered to the Common Council President that I did not see a conflict of interest under the statute per usual. Always advise elected officials that despite whether or not the statute's involved, if they feel they have an actual conflict of interest or actual bias with regard to any subject matter or party involved there too, that they have to make that decision on whether or not it's appropriate to abstain on the matter, and also whether or not they have any other concerns politically or otherwise with regard to any appearances. And on matters of import, as I've stated before, I did get a second opinion with regard to ethics matters. That would be Attorney Jonathan Becker, currently the Ethics Division Legal Counsel at the Government Accountability Board. Prior thereto was the attorney for the State Ethics Division dating back decades. And his response was statute is clear. Not an officer, director, or employee of the not-for-profit entity, and the statute's not applicable and does not create a conflict. And he also added the same thing I just said about if you feel you have an actual conflict or the like.
So I guess unless the mayor, city attorney, or anyone in the room, alderman, has any objection, I will vote on the item. Yes, sir.
Alderwoman Mayor.
I have to disclose also that there's a portion of our property that is in a conservation easement with MALC. And although I'm not an officer or not involved with MALC at all, there are grants and funding available for the maintenance of those for that land. And MALC does help in writing those grants and getting the funding for that. So I guess I would ask the city attorney his opinion also.
What I had understood was that the property had been had conveyed property to Valk, but that it was Valk property.
Actually, correction, it was conveyed under a conservation easement. They still hold title property. That particular property is only a conservation easement. So it's similar to what the city is trying to do. That's why I had knowledge of the subject matter.
I think the point is, am I financially gaining from anything to do with MALC.
Okay, well, the city attorney's thinking of that. And then what I believe the city attorney is looking for and I'm pushing for, let's approve this ordinance, and whoever makes a motion, add on and necessary expenditure and authorize in whatever future motion, authorize for future expenditures of up to $25,000 of maintenance and insurance. Mr. City Attorney.
With regard to the information provided by Alderwoman Mayor, the Wisconsin statutes and, well, in the section 1959, with regard to subsection, with regard to taking action affecting a matter in which an official has a financial interest, it provides, quote, local officials may not take official action substantially affecting a matter in which the official, an immediate family member, or an organization with which the official is associated has a substantial financial interest. So I'm not hearing that the official or an immediate family member is, with regard to this action, which does not affect the Alderwoman Mayor's property, which is subject to the conservation easement, is being in any way affected, much less substantially affected. And further, that with regard to Malk, the official may not take action with substantially affecting a matter in which an organization with which the official is associated has a substantial financial interest. This matter does not involve that property. And earlier I said associated with an organization means whether or not the elected official, public officer, is an officer, director, or trustee, or owns at least 10% of the organization. And so none of those apply. So would be the same unless you feel you have some form of actual bias or concern about what others might think in terms of if any action on there. I do not see any conflict under the state ethics guides for local public officials.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Alderman Dan.
Then I'd like to make the motion to adopt this resolution to accepting the conveyance of to the city of Franklin, and to work through our city attorney for the resolution on these, is it the five parcels now?
Don't specify.
I'm not going to specify the five parcels, but the parcels that we have been discussing in our action sheet, and to also authorize for the expenditures up to $25,000 for maintenance and insurance.
I'll second that.
And funds, sources to be determined.
And sources to be determined.
It would be from contingency.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded, Mr. City Attorney.
Does the Director of Administration, do you need to mention insurance there? Doesn't that automatically, if there's a city property interest covered, would you determine what that cost would be?
I don't believe you would specify that or break it out. Anytime we buy any piece of insurance, you authorize it. It simply goes on our listing of property. We get our payments adjusted accordingly. Those individual costs are never broken out and brought back specifically. So, and it's nominal.
Issue arose when Alderman Wilhelm mentioned that Malk, who owns the property, is required to have insurance. This would be a reimbursement for that insurance. Alderman Willem.
I'm going to guess probably if they own the property, they would be required to have insurance. But if the city's going to take on the insurance responsibility, I don't think you need double insurance. I think you just do an indemnifying clause.
All right, let me do it this way. Alderman, your motion gives the city attorney a flexibility to negotiate to complete these transactions.
Is that correct?
All right.
Very briefly, with our insurance company being one that deals only with local governments and understands local government need, the CEO and the insurance company, given the proper information, can say, yes, we understand you've accepted that liability, and we as your insurer are accepting that liability. So if it's incorporated into the ownership documents that way, where we've accepted that liability along with the easements, it's our insurance probably extends. And what we usually do is communicate that with the CEO and get in writing from them that they've acknowledged acceptance of that.
Okay, we've gone into the weeds. The problem is if Melk has to pay, they need reimbursement. We need authorization to negotiate that. We got it. Motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Mr. City Attorney.
As set forth in the action sheet, Department of Natural Resources is looking for a letter of intent for their planning, and it's clearly described in their 2010, two of the three parcels that would be conveyed to them were included in the ordinance, which allows for shotgun hunting and bow hunting under the state regs for two of those parcels. The third one is a 10-acre east to west horizontal vertical immediately abutting to the south of those, and the request is for a letter of intent recognizing that if and when these transactions come to fruition as set forth in the action sheet draft resolution, that council would take up an amendment to the ordinance to include that 10-acre east to west horizontal parcel to be included in that Big Muskego Lakes wildlife area to allow for gun hunting. And that parcel is buffered by the other parcels, which would be conveyed to Melk to the south and to the east.
And the neighbors are generally okay.
And both neighbors who do abut the areas where hunting is allowed or abutting the two other properties to be conveyed to DNR, which are in the ordinance allowing for shotgun hunting, were before the council at one of the previous meetings and had said and at the bottom line they would support that action by the council.
Okay, before that, I have no interest in cutting the council out of any decision-making part and have no interest in reducing the amount of information available to you. We need to get this stuff done. All I'm asking is an affirmative vote on this and let the city attorney get going on it. And what I mean by that is avoid at all possible costs calls to the city attorney for other stuff.
So do you need that added or are you okay with the motion? Everything you just said about what, do you need anything added to the motion to cover that? And the other?
What I said is actually in there, but it doesn't say and on top of that, in case DNR wants something more than a provision in a resolution, give them a letter that says the same.
Okay, so you'll take care of that.
And just let us take care of it.
And then the only other thing that's really concerned, other than making sure we have a match for impact fees, is the verification, which I saw in here, but I'm just going to get it on the record, that the property in the 3rd District is going for an exemption from hunting, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
And part of the communications with the chief officer for the stewardship grant program within DNR indicated today that she would track down the status of that. She's the one who, frankly, had set up that process a couple of months ago or so.
Okay.
Mr. LeBert.
If any of those funds might be due at the point of the transfer where the documents are signed, then the motion should include authorization to release the funds because that's pending a check to that separate. So.
Is that part of your motion, Alderman?
Yes.
Mr. Alderman Mayor?
Yes.
Thank you. Alderman Mayor?
I just want to double check this is not necessarily, this resolution isn't voting on the hunting on that property. That comes later.
Mr. City Attorney.
On the horizontal 10 acre Franco DC property, correct. It just acknowledges, I'll read it into the record.
It commits us to it.
The provision on page 3 says, be it further resolved that the city recognizes the future transfer of the Dumke Olson, we won't read all the acreage and tax key numbers, in the Katzman property and the Franklin DC 10.05 acres real property, that future transfer from MMSD to WDIDNR, and that the Franklin DC area property will be the subject of an ordinance to include it within City of Franklin Municipal Code sections as were the Dumke Olson and Katzman properties pursuant to ordinance number 2010-2016 upon completion of all of the other conveyances and transactions resolved under this resolution.
Okay, motion on the floor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. 8B.